Welcome to The Forum on 90.5 WCBE. Each week, The Forum brings you the conversations shaping Columbus, straight from the Columbus Metropolitan Club's Wednesday networking luncheons downtown. The Forum is where leaders, thinkers, and community voices like yours come together to tackle the issues that matter most to Central Ohio. Want to be part of the conversation? You can join us in person. Tickets and details about upcoming forums are available at columbusmetroclub.org. This week, McKinsey's Women in the Workplace 2025, the largest study of women in corporate America, reveals a troubling reversal, stalled advancement, declining company commitment, and a new ambition gap between men and women. The research also shows the ambition gap disappears when women receive equal support. At a time when Central Ohio's economy is booming, are women being left behind? This week, we welcome Michelle Bryan, partner with McKinsey & Company, Dr. Pamela Gregory, owner and CFO of the National Center for Urban Solutions, Kelly Griesmer, president and CEO of the Women's Fund of Central Ohio, and Lillian Morales-Laster, executive director of the Empowering Latinas Leadership Academy. Your host is Margaret D. Finley, president of the Central Ohio Belonging Consortium. Let's dive into this week's Columbus Metropolitan Club Forum, The Ambition Gap, Why Women Are Advancing Less and What Leaders Can Do About It.
So good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. Do I have ambition women in here? So before we get started, I just want to take a point of pleasure to do an activity. So I know some of you are still eating, but could I have all of the ambition women please stand up? All of the ambitious women, if you consider yourself an ambitious woman, please stand up. All right, you can have a seat. So I am actually thrilled to have this conversation with some absolute dynamo women. So we're just gonna really jump into the conversation. And my first question for the panelists is, when you hear the word ambition gap, what does that mean to you? And I'll start with you, Michelle.
Thanks. Yeah, so this question of what is ambition mean, and just for context for those who aren't aware of McKinsey's, which we do a partnership with leanin.org and have done so for the last 11 years, to collect a data set that is the largest data set on women in the workforce that exists. When we talk about ambition gap, which is the surprising finding that came out of 2025's research, we do not mean women are opting out. Women and men equally across their careers express a deep and high ambition for doing well and succeeding in the workplace. What has happened over time in the last year is that the number of women relative to men who report that they want to be promoted to the next level in corporate America has declined for the first time. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about the ambition gap. It's not a missing vision. It's a recognition. It's a rational response to the missing support that would be required to make that ambition a reality.
Thank you for that, Michelle. Dr. Pamela, I'll come to you next.
You know, I think this topic is very interesting and very dear to me, owning my own business. And so, you know, giving it a lot of thought. For me, it really means identifying untapped potential. And so when I think of, you know, is this a perception or is it really the case? I think oftentimes perception creates gap for opportunities for women. And even looking in my own organization, you know, really interesting enough, I did a focus group within my company with my ladies, my executives, and we had some interesting dialogue. And one thing that we all agreed on is that, you know, men, just by our gender differences, men, they tend to operate more from a transactional perspective, where women, we're more relational. And so just understanding the gender differences. And so for me, it's not a matter of ambition gap. It's really more identifying untapped potential.
So I think I so appreciate these things being pointed out, because when we did our research that complements theirs, that came, and it came out a year ago, you know, it was right before a lot of these initiatives that were helping women succeed started to be pulled back. And even then, for us, it's about trust. What women were saying in response to our focus groups in the Central Ohio area was, we don't yet trust the system is really helping us. We don't yet know who to trust in the company. We know who to network with. We know who we're supposed to meet. We also know we have a lot of burdens that and barriers we're trying to navigate, and we don't know where to find help with that. And so I always say for people to think about, these women are ambitious, but they also can't see the path forward. And it was these things that we were doing for women and families, frankly, in the workplace, and a lot of new generations of men were looking for these support systems that have started to be pulled back. So for me, again, it's not about whether the ambition exists. It's about whether the systems have met people where they're at, or whether we're starting to stop meeting people where they at, which we are. And so it's just a really important moment to realize that the mission and the ambition is there, the system isn't.
So Kelly, you said two of my favorite words, the system and the, the system and the women that don't know what to do. So first I want you to define who is the system?
Yeah, so, and I mean this with great vulnerability. That's where the Women's Fund always comes from, which is to say that there are literally hundreds and hundreds of years of building something, and there was one lived experience upon what that was built, and it was a white male experience. And that is not the fault of white men walking around today. They didn't start the system. But we've all grown up with it. Anybody sitting on this planet today grew up with just seriously generations of deciding this is what the average worker or executive looks like. And it's not us. And it's not people of color. And it's not people with different identities. And so it is upon us. The system was created, and I always say, it's not broken. It's working exact the way it was designed. It now needs to be redesigned, because if you think about it, even creatures, you know, that live in the ocean adapt, right? The waters change, they learn to live in warmer waters so they can continue to go. Human nature has a real hard time with that. The waters have changed. Our workforce looks very different. The people we're trying to meet looks very different. So the system is something that was created for the person who was existing in it at the time, and it is long past time that we change that.
The same question about ambition gap. What does that mean to you?
Okay. So I wanted to go into this conversation ensuring that we understand that it's not that women are dreaming smaller. It goes back to what Kelly said, the system, do we have support in what we want to do? And when I was asked to be on the panel, I had a very interesting opportunity to talk to some of our board members about, they were talking about promotions and new jobs, and I asked a question of two, you know, what's next? Do you want to get promoted? And the answer was a hard and definitive no, like they were solid on the no. And so let's dive deeper into why the answer is no. And in both cases is the system. They've worked in the system so long, they don't feel like it's going to support them in that new role, like that new executive director, that new CEO role isn't designed or built for women like them, specifically women of color. I think that also there's a trend that the younger generation, they're no longer wanting to participate in a system that isn't built for them. So when we talk about the younger generation, they just don't want to deal with it. And so I think that that also lends itself to knowing that women are finding spaces where we can create our own opportunities, whether we start businesses, we lead nonprofits, where we can create a space for ourselves. So that's what I think gap, I think it's more of whether or not, you know, these opportunities are built for us. And how can, and piggybacking on what Kelly says, is how are we going to pave the way to ensure that we get the support that we need when we put women in positions? That's the other thing, is we put women in positions of leadership, and how do we continue to support them? And it's just not there in some cases.
Yeah.
May I just add, Lynn, to build on what you're saying about, so there's an ambition gap when you look at the data across demographics in women compared to men. That is clear. Some really interesting things come out of the nuance when you zoom in on particular demographics. Interestingly, Latina women are among the most ambitious among any demographic, 90% saying that they want that next promotion. The other place where it's surprising, we have our own notions about Gen Z, and I have a daughter who's Gen Z, and you know, I think about this stuff a lot, is interestingly, at the entry level, 20-somethings, men and women equally report that level of ambition and wanting to be promoted. The sad truth over 11 years of collecting this data, though, is that that first rung on the ladder is the one that's broken, and the first place where the compounding of lack of advancement of women relative to men, especially women of color, starts to happen.
Thank you for that, Michelle. Pam, you were gonna?
Yeah, I was just gonna add, that's why it's important that we create our own systems. And so when we look around, when I look around the room, I see a lot of entrepreneurs in the room. And so really, you know, oftentimes we talk about building our own tables, designing our own systems, and I think entrepreneurship for women is at an all-time high right now.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, so let's talk about the data, and Michelle is our data guru. So Michelle, from the data and the McKinsey report from 2025, what trends or data points stand out for where women are falling off or pushed off the advancement ladder?
Sure. So there are a few that come out in this past year's data, right? So this broken rung, this first promotion when you're in your 20s, an entry-level employee, this has compounding effect, and that is persistent through the years, and it's disappointing. We have to address it. In the last year, there are a few trends that we've seen in the data that are worth discussing. I think one is this flexibility penalty, okay? So among men and women who work remotely 3+ days a week, there appears to be, in the rates of promotion, no penalty for men. They're still promoted at about the same rate, and about a 10% penalty for women, and that doubles for entry-level women working remotely. So that penalty is real, and I think it's something that we should talk about. The other one, Kelly already hit on it. The other thing is what so part of our research includes surveying and interviewing well over 100 organizations who employ 3 million people across the country. The organizations tell us that many have paused or canceled support programs to advance women, especially women of color, and have, even where programs maybe didn't exist at scale, have no longer considered it a corporate priority to support and advance women. This is very concerning for all the reasons we've just described.
Yes, and I think that's a good segue to Kelly. So in our prep conversation, Kelly, you shared some of the data that you and your team pulled together. Could you talk a little bit more about that? And really, what was really the aha for you after you had the data conversation?
Yeah, so I'm going to shout out Alex Dorman, who from the Center for Community Solutions, who's here, and he was one of the researchers. We commissioned it. They actually researched, but in our report, we surveyed over 3,000 women and talked to over 100 of them in actual focus groups, and we asked them to define themselves as surviving, stable, or thriving. We shouldn't be judging people based upon what they earn or what kind of car they drive as to whether they believe they're thriving. Okay, women get to make that decision about themselves. But if it is interesting to find that very often women who we would consider from salary or position or potential for promotion, they don't necessarily consider themselves thriving. And in fact, it's the thought that they've become so part of a system that doesn't support them. They're trying to figure out how to invest and save and navigate all the barriers that are in front of them with regard to childcare and transportation and things that, quite just frankly, men don't bear or that people find solutions for them much more quickly. So it was a real aha moment for us to realize that they want to be free from worry. That's wealth to them. And that they will feel like they're thriving and like they're accumulating wealth, not only when their paychecks are getting bigger, which we are big fans of, but also when they can literally have the freedom to make life decisions. And so until we start analyzing women's wealth and their ability to thrive in these environments that way, we're still trying to force them into a system that's not designed for them.
Would you like to share anything around the data that you see?
I think so. For Ella and the Latinas we serve, it's more about lived experiences versus the data. And what we get is that, you know, we're ambitious, but then there's also that level of we don't see anybody that looks like us when we looking forward to getting into those senior or executive roles. And that's why we do what we do with Ella, is to provide the tools and the mentoring and the tricks and tips to have access to be able to be in those rooms and be able to get those promotions. And also talking about wealth, I mean, pre-COVID, Latinas were on track to close the gap on the pay equity. And post-COVID, we're now back to being dead last, which does play a huge role in when you talk about obtaining those leadership roles. Is we're already far behind when we start in those entry-level positions. When you try to get up to that scale, you're still far behind. And all of this is a holistic approach when you talk about women in the workplace. It's the access, the support, the salaries and wealth. For us, it's more of the lived experiences and all the compound issues that we have as Latinas in the room.
Thank you for that. And Dr. Pamela, I know that you all also did some data gathering. Would you like to share a little more?
Yeah, I would. When I look at just in the city of Columbus, when you talk about where does it fall off, it really appears that women were excelling, when I look at just, again, Columbus, Ohio, in the nonprofit sectors, in the government sectors, in the social service sectors. When I think about the organizations that are led by many CEOs, whether it's the Jewish Family Services, whether it's Job and Family Services, United Way, I mean, there's a list, but I think where it really falls off for women is in the corporate sector. When I look at and do some studies around Fortune 500 companies, you know, there's only 10% of the Fortune 500 companies make up women. So that's 52 women that are CEOs within Fortune 500 companies. But when you look at the nonprofit sector, the government sector, and the public service sector, is where we tend to excel more. So I think it's the question becomes, how do we have more of a footing within the 500 Fortune companies and the corporate sector?
Okay, thank you for that. And Lily, I want to go back to something you said around pay equity. Most women I know in my circle have dealt with being paid differently than their male counterparts, but doing the same role and sometimes more of the same role, right? And so all of the panelists, could you chime in a little bit about, from a pay equity perspective, how do we have those conversations to address the issue, right? And address it in a way of not coming across as disgruntled, but just the expectation you want to be paid your value, right? And when you have the information that you're not being paid your value, how do you approach those conversations? I won't tell you how I approach my conversation, but I got my raise, but okay.
Yeah. And that's a hard conversation to have. And I think it's important to understand it looks different for someone who's in an entry-level position versus someone who's already in a career and trying to get into seeing, and those are two totally different conversations. It's harder to have those conversations with someone who's just looking to get their foot into the door, and empowering them to have those conversations. I think in most cases, those early folks are afraid of saying anything because then that opportunity gets snatched away from them. And that's a very real fear. My day job, I'm in HR. So I understand that there are spaces where there's not ethical value handed down when it comes to HR decisions. And so that also helps me in the space with AYA, because then I could say, here are the things that they look for. These are the things that we can have. And that's how we handle those conversations with our program, is having real conversations about, if they say this is what you need to do. With senior folks, I mean, I don't know how you handled your, my thing is I'm willing to walk away from an opportunity if I feel like the very first conversation is that you're not going to pay me what I'm worth, and I know. And that means that automatically you're not going to value me and value what I bring to the organization. And I think, again, it's different conversations for different stages in your career. But ultimately it starts with educating the women in our lives. To this point, women my age still don't know that they can negotiate their salaries. They don't know what to negotiate. They don't know how to negotiate. And I'm a big advocate of just having transparent conversations about what we're making, how we navigated our space ourselves. So it's just one conversation and one empowering lady at a time. I love hearing conversations when people give me the feedback that it worked, or even better, they had to walk away because they knew immediately that they were not going to be valued at the organization that they were trying to get a job. But you have to build to that confidence.
Okay. Thank you for that. And so, Michelle, and the data, did this come up at all around pay equity and the challenges?
So we don't collect data on pay equity.
Okay.
What I will say, though, because by the way, I'm sure we've all been there and felt this, right? This is a heavy conversation to have, and not one that anybody should be having on their own. What I mean is, again, over 11 years of data and all of our lived experiences, we know that pay equity and advancement are a function of our sponsorship and support in the organization. So having a conversation about pay equity is a heck of a lot easier when you've got a senior level sponsor helping you navigate it. Women are half as likely as men to have a senior level sponsor in an organization, half as likely. And that can be really crippling.
And so Dr. Pamela, I'm gonna come to you next as an African-American woman. What would you recommend leaders need to understand and have a level of empathy?
When I think back on my career in my 20s, and I was in a management position, and you know, I was a first generation college student, so really not very far from slavery. My mother was, you know, born out of a slave relationship. And navigating those spaces in corporate America as a Black woman, not having a mentor or a sponsor. I remember one time it was time for my review, and you know how you do the 360 reviews and you gotta rate yourself. And I had a problem rating myself a 4 or 5. I was rating myself a 3. And so I was talking to someone and they were like, why are you rating yourself a 3? You're a 4 or 5. I said, I am? I'm a 4 or 5? You know, so I think when you grow up in households where, you know, maybe your father or your uncle or someone might be the CEO and they're grooming you, you know, as a child to have that confidence and don't have imposter syndrome and know that you should be in the room, that makes a difference in terms of, you know, even getting promoted. So I think for me, when I look at my organization and what companies should know is that really, you know, understand the person's background. And so understand where they come from and knowing that they may not have had that opportunity that maybe the next person had. But it wasn't until that I was meeting with, you know, someone else and they were like, if you don't rate yourself a 4 or 5, they surely are not going to rate you a 4 or 5. So from then on, I'm a 5.
Thank you for that. Kelly, thoughts here?
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, I think speaking as a white person who grew up in a pretty privileged environment, what I can tell you from talking with a lot of women of color, and especially Black women, is that we can't even begin to imagine the barriers that you faced. And I've faced some myself, for sure, and I never am going to act like I didn't, but it's so exhausting to have both a gender barrier and a race barrier, and then also maybe pile in education, background, network, religion, every single one. You know, Kimberly Crenshaw taught us the concept of intersectionality, that I know that's a hard word sometimes for people, but it's really just the all of the colliding barriers. And unfortunately, in this country, we have to be very, very clear that gender and race are the two of the top. And that when you have both of those things, you're fighting a battle. And no one fights it harder than women of color, and especially Black women. Because they have all of those things, and it's exhausting. And just even to our point of the trust, looking in the room, all of us have been the only woman in the room. Imagine when you're the only person of color in the room, and especially the only woman of color in the room. It's just unconscionable, and we need it. It is all these support systems we were building that helps just start to edge away at that exhaustion. And
Kelly,
yeah,
thank you for your transparency and understanding. That means a lot.
I think so. Two things. One, what we're talking about is equity. It's having equal access to the same things. It's not special treatment. And I think that given the way things are now, people are shying away from that word, but it's very, very important. It's like, we're not asking for special treatment. We're just asking for equal access. There's also not a one size fits all kind of approach when you talk about women in leadership and women in excelling in their roles. Companies and sponsors have to do the work to have those conversations with someone that's different than them, understanding where they come from, the barriers that exist, what motivates them. It's a lot of hard work to talk to employees and figure out, like, why aren't you applying for that job? What are the obstacles? What are the issues? Because then sometimes that's a reflection of how you are running your organization, how you are appointing people in those roles. As far as Latinas goes, I said it earlier, we're growing, but there's still not very many of us in leadership roles. And with AYA, what we try to do is if it's hard to find a sponsor in the workplace, we will create a board of directors around you. And we will be the ones to help you sponsor. And I think that this is where women thrive, in that if you're not going to make it for us, we're going to create it for ourselves. And that's what we do with AYA, is explain to the women, like, you know, it's exhausting to fight this battle by yourself if you're the only one in your company, or you're the only one and you have to try to explain why, you know, how you show up in the workplace as a first generation, or just all of the things.
You're listening to the Columbus Metropolitan Club's weekly forum on 90.5 WCBE. This week, McKinsey's Women in the Workplace 2025, the largest study of women in corporate America, reveals a troubling reversal: stalled advancement, declining company commitment, and a new ambition gap between men and women. The research also shows that this ambition gap disappears when women receive equal support. At a time when Central Ohio's economy is booming, are women being left behind? This week, we're hearing from Michelle Bryant with McKinsey & Company, Dr. Pamela Gregory with the National Center for Urban Solutions, Kelly Griesmer with the Women's Fund of Central Ohio, and Lillian Morales-Laster with the Empowering Latinas Leadership Academy. Your host is Margaret D. Finley with the Central Ohio Belonging Consortium. We'll get back to this week's Columbus Metropolitan Club Forum, The Ambition Gap, Why Women Are Advancing Less and What Leaders Can Do About It, after a short break.
Hi there, this is Morgan James. Every album represents a step in an artist's journey. Hello, music lovers. I'm inviting you to listen to Music Journeys with Mike Foley. Mike mixes music and conversation with artists to share what informed and inspired their latest project, how the love of music began, what music means to them, and so much more. We've chatted about three of my projects, the most recent being Soul Remains the Same, a soul album of songs you would never expect. You can always expect the perfect combination of music and stories on Music Journeys. The show airs Saturday afternoons at 3:30 on WCBE. Recent episodes are available on the major podcast platforms and the WCBE app. To meet and hear more from all the musicians featured since its start in 2018, including me, to be the first to be featured three times on the show, look for Music Journeys on WCBE's podcast experience at WCBE.org.
Welcome back to the Columbus Metropolitan Club's weekly forum on 90.5 WCBE. This week, McKinsey's Women in the Workplace 2025, the largest study of women in corporate America, reveals a troubling reversal, stalled advancement, declining company commitment, and a new ambition gap between men and women. The research also shows this ambition gap disappears when women receive equal support. At a time when Central Ohio's economy is booming, are women being left behind? This week, we welcome Michelle Bryant, partner with McKinsey & Company, Dr. Pamela Gregory, owner and CFO of the National Center for Urban Solutions, Kelly Griesmer, president and CEO of the Women's Fund of Central Ohio, and Lillian Morales-Laster, executive director of the Empowering Latinas Leadership Academy. Our host is Margaret D. Finley, president of the Central Ohio Belonging Consortium. Let's get back to this week's Columbus Metropolitan Club Forum, The Ambition Gap, why women are advancing less and what leaders can do about it.
We're looking for equal access, and companies have to do the work to ask their employees, to engage with their employees, specifically women. What are the barriers? What are the issues? How can we provide equal access? And then two, if as a woman, you're not having those sponsors at work, I highly encourage creating a board of directors, because again, when we talked to Pam, if you have not grown in, like, my mom didn't work, so I didn't know what it's like to be in the workplace. I was a bull in a china shop. Latina, young, just trying to set things on fire. But as I got older, I accumulated women who, like Pamela, was like, why aren't you rating yourself high? You can do this. Don't listen to that person. You need to be that. If that's the one takeaway, you need to create that board of directors around you, and they will help empower you and pour into you so you can find those sponsors at work or find another job where you can find a sponsor.
Thank you for that. And I did get the nice eye signal from Doug that we only have time for one more question. And so my last question for the panelists, as a fellow ambitious woman, what is your highest ambition for the next 2 years? They're like, Margaret, that was not on the planned questions. No, it was not. I'm just going with the flow.
I've got one, it's for our region. By the way, the entire state of Ohio is excited about, I live in Dayton. We're all very excited about the growth in Columbus and what it means for the entire state. We'd like to see that accelerate. I want to have a role in accelerating the growth of manufacturing in Ohio. So that's my ambition.
I guess we can just go down the line here. For me, you know, just kind of taking all this in, and I'm, as I look at expanding my organizations, I think just really honing in, making sure that I'm creating a safe culture that could lead to stronger teams. And by doing that, expanding on and continuing to expand more nationally and continuing to promote more women.
Yeah, so I have a dry sense of humor, I'm sorry, but the first word that came to mind was survive. And I you know, and I think that goes to our topic, right? These are not easy times. But my ambition is this. I have lived here for a long time, and I do believe that where we are in an economy that's actually surviving better than economies are surviving a lot of places, even under these worst of circumstances, women will help us win a lot if we just invest in them. And so my greatest investment, my greatest ambition is that we just own the fact this isn't about us picking on people or saying anybody's trying to get it wrong, but to get it right, we need to put money in the hands of women and make them free.
So as you can imagine, it's tough leading a organization that we specifically support, mentor, and uplift Latinas. It has been an extremely eye-opening couple years, maybe just one. I was like, wait, it's only March. It's exhausting. I mean, the work before was exhausting, but I felt like I could see the light. I could see the impact. I can see us moving towards a space where we can thrive. And in the last year, I feel like there's just all these obstacles now. For my 2-year plan is, I'm a very stubborn and ambitious Latina. I've had very uncomfortable conversations with folks about how we're not going to change what we're doing. We're not going anywhere. And if you don't support us, we're going to find other women specifically that are going to pour into our community and help uplift us and continue to support us. So my goal is to continue to fight the good fight for Latinas here in Central Ohio and hopefully throughout the state of Ohio. So then survive and rest while doing it.
Okay, thank you so much to our panelists for a great conversation. And so now we come to the time of the session where it's been the long tradition of CMC to have interaction from the audience. I know that we have a live stream, Doug, so we may have some questions there. But if you have a questions for any of the panelists, please come to the mic here where Doug is standing. You have a comment, that's fine.
I'll go over our requested guidelines. So yes, thank you. Margaret, thank you so much. By the way, today's forum was Margaret's idea. Let's give Margaret a round of applause. Margaret, thank you so much for moderating today's conversation. Thank you so much to our panelists. If you do have a question for today's panelists, please do join us here at the microphone. Great questions at CMC always have two things in common. They can be asked in 30 seconds or less. And yes, questions do end with what punctuation mark? They do end with a question mark. Yes, we do encourage actual questions. I'm going to launch us off with this one for any panelist. One in six companies have cut DEI staff or resources. What do you think happens to progress when this kind of investment shrinks?
I mean, it's exactly what I was talking about. I mean, we were redesigning the system. That's what equity is just re-seeing the experiences that hadn't been factored into the original system and adding that. And so when we roll it all back, the impact is immediate, and we're seeing it from this research that in just 1 year of rolling back, it's having an effect.
Maybe I'll just add to that, that look, year over year, there's another consistent finding here, which will not surprise anybody. Everybody agrees, every gender, every demographic agrees that bringing a diversity of viewpoints creates value for organizations. If we're talking about organizations that have a shareholder wealth goal, there is lots of data to support that a diversity of perspectives at the senior level delivers for shareholders. So we all have that shared goal. When it's not something that we put resources behind, it's not something that we make progress on. And that shows across the data for large companies.
Hi, I'm an ambitious woman who feels incredibly empowered to be in this space with all the other ambitious women. I'm also a mom of 4 children who stayed home for 15 years to raise children over an 11-year gap. So my question is, you know, that hasn't been brought up too much today about the impact of motherhood. I think we are closing gaps as women. Yay for that. We are still held with much of the responsibility of being mothers and caretakers for aging parents and things like that. So just curious how we can support mothers in the workforce.
That's a great question. You know, it's interesting because just a couple months ago, I was interviewing a Gen Z, And quite frankly, now their requirements are very similar to someone who might be re-entering the workforce as a mom. And so I think really just finding employers that embrace that and make that part of their mission. And so really looking at where those opportunities are, where there might not be as kind of volatile as some of the other positions, but there are companies out there that support women, whether it's, you know, providing an area where they can nurse and that sort of thing. So just really taking the time out. And also I would say always look at creating your own thing. Entrepreneurship leads to freedom.
I would only add that it's, we all just need to also just agree gender norms exist. And they're, again, they're built into the system. So, you know, my husband and I worked at the same law firm when we had our child, and it was clear that even though we'd both been working there for 9 years, we'd both been delivering at the same level, arguably we're making about the same money, I was a little less, the system immediately upon me giving birth to that child assumed that I was going to, that I had more responsibilities than him, that I was going to be less responsible, that I was going to be less available. And I had an active partner, and I do think I also started to see that when he partnered with me in that, the gender norms kicked in and started to doubt him a little bit, right? So we all know that that's how we all stay on this planet, right, is that we have all these children. So again, could we all just like acknowledge that these norms about our community to this great point, we need women in the workforce. We need them more than ever. They're adding to the economy. They're at, you know, so of course we also should be not just giving them no choice but this or that. Not saying that if you do decide to stay home, that's a bad decision, but I think there's a lot of people that don't feel like it's a decision at all.
Thank you. We have about 8 minutes left. We'll try to get to at least maybe three more questions. I do want to do one from the live stream. Taryn Weishite asks, the idea of the glass cliff has become more known in recent years. Does the data show any shift in ambition because of this? Are women becoming less, for lack of a better word, willing to martyr themselves for these opportunities?
Yeah, interesting. So the piece of data that has consisted, as I mentioned, is that broken rung, that first management position and promotion. What came out of just this year's data in terms of senior and executive women and what they say their goals are, is that the burnout and perception of lack of support and perception that they've been passed over a number of times over their career for promotions has, and by the way, again, this is a pretty rational response, has resulted in a response that says, thanks, I'm checking out, I'm not interested.
As far as ambition, my ambition is that my granddaughter has the same amount of support and opportunities that I have had. Considering I'm a Latina 65-year-old woman and my little grandbaby is biracially looks blonde and, you know, and yet her opportunities are slowly going away, everything we fought for. So my question, kind of a statement question, is I'm listening to you all and I know all of you, a lot of you very well, and you know you're very ambitious, but what about the women that I serve that cannot afford to be ambitious because a job that pays more is a job that pays more. It's not about being a CEO. It's about being able to put food on the table. And especially in this environment where just the color of your skin is a distraction, how do you all keep what you're trying to do, which is very good and needed, but at the same time, everybody here has an opportunity to help someone. You don't have to be a CEO. You don't have to be a, so what do you all recommend? Because my recommendation is everybody in this room can make a difference to somebody. So even if you're not in the position you want to be, you can still help. So what do you all ladies suggest?
Yeah, I think, thank you, Ana Maria. I think that goes back to, yes, we, so multiple things is, you know, if you are in a position, I think all of us are in a position to mentor somebody. And it goes back to like not judging what a woman determines is her wealth. For some folks, it's just having a full-time job so they can put food on the table. For some folks, it's just having enough money to get a car for reliable transportation. As individuals, when we get to a position where we feel like we can mentor or assist another woman, we need to keep that in mind. I'm always going to push you to do the most, but recognize that some folks are just not wanting to have the CEO or executive leadership position, but just want to find a space where they can survive. And I agree that mentoring, because we do a whole organization around mentoring, mentoring is one of those things that I don't think we really recognize how important it is. As someone who did not have a grandmother who worked or a mother who worked, I didn't have anyone in my life to show me how to just manage my first job. Had I had a mentor, I feel like I would have gotten a lot further, a lot sooner. So I think that there's room for all of us to individually own that these systems are broken. Things might potentially get worse before they get better, but we can each individually show up in a space where we can advocate, mentor, and uplift and empower women that we see around us.
Hi, I have an AI question. When I was reading the McKinsey study, something really struck me, and it was that entry-level men are astoundingly being encouraged to learn and use AI way more than entry-level women. And I just would love to hear your interpretation of action steps that can be taken to counteract that.
So maybe by a show of hands, who here can say that their day has been changed, their daily routine has been changed by the use of even just large language models, AI? Okay, good. I would love to see that be 100%. What we don't know from the data, and thank you for reading our report, by the way, what I don't know from the data is why men are being saying that they're being encouraged by their managers more than women are. That is perplexing. I think the answer for all of us, in addition to let's go out and find someone to sponsor, which is a great suggestion for all of us today, is to step out of here and think about how AI can help us, by the way, relieve some of that load, that extra burden that we all feel that is generating quite a lot of burnout among women. But yeah, it's a fascinating finding. If you haven't done your homework on AI, then you should.
I do, having raised a young son, and for all the people who are going to say afterwards, yes, she's mean to her son, I'm not. I love him to death. But watching him navigate the world growing up, I was just joking with my team. I was a spelling bee champ. He was a terrible speller. Terrible. And it was just embarrassing to me. And his teachers at a school that where I was, you know, it was a college prep, all that stuff. They just said to me, he doesn't need to know how to spell. There's spell check. And I said, well, he has to get close enough that they know what word it's supposed to be. But I tell that story lightly just to say, we are conditioned to help men succeed. We are conditioned to test women. There is a reason I was a spelling bee champ. And my kid, I couldn't even convince his teachers. And I understand generational differences and a tool, but I still believe that if I had spell check, somebody would have told me that I was not an A student if I messed it up. And so I do think this goes back to gender norms again. I love my son deeply, but men are encouraged because no one wants to see them fail, and they are much more conditioned to letting women fail or make mistakes and judging them for it.
Okay, so I'm getting the rodeo. Wrap up, Margaret. Again, thank you all for being here. And now I'm going to turn it back over to Sophia to closing remarks.
You've been listening to the Columbus Metropolitan Club's weekly forum on 90.5 WCBE. This week, we explored why new data shows that women's advancement in the workplace has stalled and what leaders can do to close an ambition gap between men and women, from redesigning culture to strengthening mentorship, support, and pathways to promotion. This week, we welcomed Michelle Bryan with McKinsey & Company, Dr. Pamela Gregory with the National Center for Urban Solutions, Kelly Griesmer with the Women's Fund of Central Ohio, and Lillian Morales-Laster with the Empowering Latinas Leadership Academy. Our host was Margaret D. Finley with the Central Ohio Belonging Consortium. This forum was made possible by the Mary Lazarus Legacy and Civic Engagement Fund and was sponsored by Advanced Drainage Systems, Event Marketing Strategies, and the New Directions Career Center. The presenting sponsor of our live stream was the Center for Human Kindness at the Columbus Foundation. Our live stream partner was the Columbus Dispatch. If you'd like to keep exploring this week's forum topic, our friends at the Columbus Metropolitan Library recommend reading This Isn't Working: How Working Women Can Overcome Stress, Guilt, and Overload to Find True Success by Megan French Dunbar. Join us next week as the not-for-profit Columbus Metropolitan Club once again connects people and ideas through community conversations. I'm Doug Buchanan. Thanks for listening.